So, Boker Tov, everyone, this is an exciting moment, although tinged with sadness, of course, that we don't have our beloved Masechet Moed Katan. Who would have thought you could fall in love with a Masechet like that, huh? Just goes to show all kinds of different beauties in the world. Okay, so now we're starting on Chagiga, which according to the Rambam is the Hashloma of Moed. And remember that Tosfos was Medayek yesterday, and he brought a number of people, I shouldn't say Medayek, but that it was Sover yesterday, that the actually, and most of the Rishonim have this understanding of the Seder of Moed, is that Moed Katan is the conclusion of Moed, and that's why it ends with the words Mochashem Dimami Al Kopanim, and that's why it's Mechubar to Mesechet Yevamot, which Yevamot is also starts basically a Seder with a tragic situation, which a person died young without children and so on. Okay, that is an interesting idea, but it certainly is not sufficient to prove the Seder. Let's try to understand, according to the Rambam, what exactly is going on to say that Chagiga should be the Hashloma of Moed. As we're going to see, the Inyan of the Moadim, of course, I mean, this we know, that the Inyan of the Moadim are linked to the idea of an Am that has Shalosh Regalim, not only Shalosh Pa'amim B'Shana, but Shlosha Regalim. And we're going to see that that issue of Regal as opposed to Pa'am, and Pa'am as opposed to Regal, is an extremely profound idea, because note that the word Pa'am means footsteps, not only time, and that the word Regal means time, not only foot. So this issue of the interrelationship of actually Re'ia, Lir'ot Panai, Shalosh Pamim, or Shalosh Regalim B'Shana, the Re'ias Panim that is connected to the Halicha B'Regal is the interrelationship of Re'ia with movement, which of course turns out to be fundamental to the understanding of time and space. And this is the basis of the Masechet that we're going to see in many, many levels of Ramazim, even to the point that C squared in the formula of that interrelationship is Merumas in the fundamental diak of the Masechet, which is Yera'eh Yir'eh, that there's an interrelationship of a square of Re'ia, so to speak, which we're going to talk about even today later. So this concept of the relationship of Yisrael, and why is the relationship of Yisrael? Because remember the way that Bilam was lachutz al akir shalosh pa'amim. This Rashi says l'ramezlo shuba la'akor umash ol l'regal shalosh pa'amim b'shana. It sounds to us like that's sort of, you know, all right. So you know, you could have had it four times, and then it'll be a remes to an uma that wears tzitzis on the arba kanfes abeged. You know, I mean, we could have it five times, and then say it's a remes to a regal that has chamisha chum shetera. We could have, I mean, whatever. So what is the shalosh pa'amim? But this is the yesod of the Masechet, gentlemen. As we're going to see, the interrelationship of Yisrael is built around the ir shechubra layachdav, which itself is merely an appendage, or according to Rambam, more than an appendage, because it's actually called Migdash, but is an extension of the idea of the way in which Beit Chayenu is the relationship of ourselves to Yisrael. We've spoken about this recently in terms of Rabbeinu Bachya, who explains that every individual must ultimately learn their chibur to Knesset Yisrael, not the Klal Yisrael, but the Knesset Yisrael, and that that means that there needs to be a chibur through the Beit HaMikdash. The loss of the Beit HaMikdash is basically what has left us in the state that we currently are, which is this, as Homan put it, Mefurad Mufuzar, and that Pirud is actually what causes the Churban in the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, the two are very interrelated. And therefore, the Aliyah L'Regel, which is furthermore, according to Yerushalmi, learned out from Hakel, and certainly according to Bavli as well, we'll see the Inyonim, the Ramachaber, the Hakel, which includes everybody, Anashim, Nashim, V'taf, and some are going to be getting into that in some of the drushes in the Masechet very soon, that those two Inyonim are meant to be that which is the integration of Yisrael. Therefore, anyone who cannot be Oilel Regel is fundamentally chaser in his connection to the Am, which is quite astounding, and we'll see the implications of this as we go on. Now, in that idea, we find an amazing halacha. This is not just a theory. And that halacha is Kol Yisrael Chaverim Beregel. That concept of Kol Yisrael Chaverim that we learn from that pasuk, that they come up ke'echad, defines the dinim of Tuma v'Tahira in the Regel. And half of the Masechet is dedicated to that issue, that the interrelationship that we have between us changes the way in which we are machmer on halachas of Tuma, on the chumras of Hegdish, and which we'll see are so involved in the level of the Kedushas Yisrael, is the Tairas Yisrael, is the karbonis that are brought b'musafim on the regal to be metayer, anybody who came in betuma or karbonis, these are all the dinim that we learned in Masechet Shavuos, of what is the purpose of the kapara of the chataot that are brought on the regal. They're all related to the idea of tumas migdash v'kedeshav, and that therefore it's astounding to discover that even though all of the malas b'kedesh, which are all to be found here in Chagiga, exactly for that reason, all of the chumras that we bring. And these are chumras not in just the kind of halachas that have to do with sfeikas. They are chumras in the nature of consciousness. That's what's so amazing. So that kochim will become tame through hesach hadas. The moment that you lose consciousness of something, it becomes tame vis-a-vis kodesh. That's astounding. And that is an expression of what it means to be in the Beis HaMikdash and what it means to be mischaber to the roots of Yisrael. So therefore, when we're told the v'lo yera'u fanai rekam, we have a number of different things. So we have shalosh pa'amim b'shana, yera'eh kol zechurchat p'nei Hashem alokecha b'makom asher yivchar b'chag ha'matzot b'chag ha'shavuot b'chag ha'sukot. And there it says, v'lo yera'eh es p'nei Hashem rekam. So we have two different issues here. One is this idea of not coming reikam. So what is not coming reikam? Not coming reikam means bring me a gift. The gifts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu are always in terms of that which is Ola Kula Lamaila. And therefore, it means that there's a concept of an Ola that needs to be brought together with Re'iyat Panim. Now, the question is whether there is a concept of Re'iyat Panim without the bringing of the Ola. That we'll talk about. A separate mitzvah of Re'iyas Ponim Ba'azara and a separate mitzvah of Hava'at Ola. And that's going to be a little bit confusing even in our opening daf. Then we have, of course, the other chiyuv, which is Shalosh Regalim Tochog Li Bashana. Note the difference, that it's Shalosh Pa'amim Bashana, Yera'eh Kol Zechurcha, and it's Lo Yera'eh Panai Reikam Shalosh Pa'amim Bashana, it's Pa'amim. When it comes to the dinim of Chagiga, it's the halacha of Shalosh Regalim Tochog Li Bashana. And that idea of Tochog Li is another concept, because it's not bringing me a gift, it's being Chogeg. And that idea of Chogeg is what we call the Korban Chagiga, as opposed to the gift, which is the Korban Re'iyah. So this is a celebration. And if it's a celebration, then it's shared. Celebrations are mutual. And because of that, it cannot be an Eila. The only carbon that's shared is a carbon Shlomit, which means that there's a chiv of bringing a carbon Chagiga. Now, this should not be confused with the carbon Chagiga that we refer to that is brought together with the carbon Pesach. And that is what's known as the Chagigat Arba'asar. That's brought in order for us to participate in the Achilas Korban Pesach with the Simchas HaChag in a way that it will be Nechal Al Hasova. But the next day, there is a Chiev to come in and to bring the Korban Chagiga, which is the Chagigat Chamishasa, which of course is the only Chagiga that would be brought on Sukkot or on Shavuos. And that is fundamentally the mitzvah on the first day, at least a little bit of Beis Hillel, as we'll see. And the rest of the Chag can be used to make up for your missing bringing the Chagiga. But essentially the Chagiga is when you appear in the Beis HaMikdash the first day. But then we also have a separate mitzvah. V'samachta b'chagecha. V'samachta b'chagecha, we learn out that Sitch, it says, v'zavachta shlomi v'samachta sham, that ein simcha ela b'basar shlomi. So we need to have shlamim in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of the v'samachta b'chagecha, and therefore we also have a chiyuv of a carbon shlamim, which is called a carbon simcha. The difference is that v'samachta b'chagecha, if you happen to have shlamim that you're bringing anyway for other purposes, let's say you had made a neder and a dava to bring your shlamim, then you certainly can use the meat of those shlamim, v'zavachta shlamim v'achalta sham, v'samachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. So that would be fine. That is a difference between the re'iya, oila, the chagiga, shlamim, and the shalmei simcha. Because since the re'iya and the chagiga are a specific chiyav, you cannot be yotzei that chiyav with a carbon that you would have brought otherwise, or even with money that you owe otherwise to bring, such as, let's say, money from Maaser Sheni that you were now brought up to Yerushalayim, you're going to be paid at it, or to be utilizing the carbon of Maaser Behemah or anything like that. You're not going to be yotzei, because any chiyav has to be brought from chulin. Masha Enkein, when it comes to the shalmei simcha, there's not a specific carbon that is a shalmei simcha. If you have any shlamim anyway, that's perfectly okay, because you're going to be yotze in the achila of that basa. So this is our yesod over here at the beginning of the mesechet. We won't discuss now the dinim of tumah v'taira, obviously, till we get there. But we're going to also discover that the nature of re'iya in the Beis HaMikdash, remember that the Beis HaMikdash is the translation of the Mishkan, which is the translation of Har Sinai. That means that coming to the Beit HaMikdash is essentially an experience of being emed at Kabbalah Satera. It's because of that that the increased consciousness of a presence in the Beis HaMikdash, which I'm sure that all of you have noted as you get closer and closer even to the Beis HaMikdash, the level of awareness becomes sharper and sharper, and to the point where when you're standing mamish by the Beis HaMikdash, everything seems to appear enhanced in its dimensionality and in your awareness and your tefillas and so on, unless your mind is completely elsewhere, which of course many people's minds are. But if you've ever seriously been there, then you know the difference. There is a clearly experienced difference that comes from the outside. It's not something that is emotional or anything like that. It's just the fact of the presence that you note there. Even Goyim have noted that. There was an article in Newsweek about it. When they took the American embassy out, so everybody, they had an article in Newsweek about how the Goyim that were there, and I actually spoke to a really total goy. I mean, like, this lawyer was a friend of mine, and he was like very clear. But he was talking about people that worked in the embassy, like they don't know how they're going to be able to live on this lower level in which they don't have that sense of power and presence and so on. So it's really a beautiful thing. But because of it, Rabosai, the Masechet deals with the equivalent of the Amida Bifnei Har Sinai. And it talks about, because of that, the Merkava, the issues of what it was that could have been seen at Har Sinai, even has a description of Haniv, Hatem, Yoshvima Yinu Bahar Sinai, and we understood all of these things as part of a vision of being at Har Sinai. So this is why so much of Chagiga is dedicated to what people call Kabbalah and so on, but which is just the way in which the mind perceives the issues that are part of an existential awareness as coded in these, you know, physical things to give us some type of structure. So therefore we have all of the inyan of the seides of thing. That's why we have ein dorshin. You're not allowed to be dorshin maisa merkava, ein dorshin ba'arayas, because obviously the centerpiece of the Beis HaMikdash is arayas. I mean, that's obvious. The Kruvim are arayas. The entire presence of the Shechina only is on Yom HaKippurim, because of Parshas Emor, which is Achrimos, which is the Parsha of Arayas, which we read on Yom Kippur, which is the day that Hashocheni Tam B'Toktu Basam. And as you'll recall, the entire Beis HaMikdash was filled with pornographic pictures, as far as the Goyim were concerned, so that all of the Kalim had copulating couples on them, crazy things. So, but this is because those inyonim are be'etzem connected to Har Sinai. As you remember, the Shuvah Lechem Lo Alechem, the first thing after Har Sinai is, as the Gemara says, to Simchat Onah, the joys of sex. What in the world does that have to do with Har Sinai? That's exactly the Nekuda of Ein Dorshin that we have over here. And because of that, these are the foci of the Masechet, which to anyone who doesn't understand what's going on, it seems to be completely arbitrary, and, you know, they'll excuse it because of this and that. Maybe it's Agav, the Mishnah, how do we know the Dinim of Chakia? That's right. Anyway, it's amazing how little awareness there is of what really this Masechet is. But because of this incredible power of the reconstruction of Klal Yisrael as Vayichan Shom Yisrael, that Kol Yisrael Chaverim, Ki Ish Echad, B'Lev Echad, and that's Mamish the Inyan of the Regalim, and that's what Bilam was being warned about. You better watch out what you're starting up with. And that this Re'iya, which is learned from the Re'iya Kavayochal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is just incredible, that we learn out the dinim of Re'iya from the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees us. That's the depth of the mutuality of the experience of coming into the Beis HaMikdash. All of this is like right at the beginning of the Masech, that Inyan, as we're going to see. So that is what better, incredible climax to Seder Moed could there possibly be than this element at all? And to view Chagiga as some kind of adjunct of, well, we'll throw in the Hilchos Kodashim. I mean, it's awful. It shouts out that this is what we've been working towards with everything, with Shabbos to the Beis HaMikdash, with Pesachim and Mimochras HaShabbos, and the Sukkah, which is learned from the Beis HaMikdash, Erevin, which is learned from the Beis HaMikdash. For God's sake, to come at the end, to finally get to the Beis HaMikdash, is something that you really would expect once you have an awareness of the overall structure. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. So this is something I see. We've got a message from Jeff, which is, of course, yes, the Mecholos, the Mecholos HaEgel, the Mecholos in Gan Eden, and that is, of course, the climax. Beautiful. All right, so I think
and
that...
Why such a stress in Tumantara?
Okay, the Barnea warps have no place here, please. We had a long discussion of this. If you want to listen to the recording afterwards, that's fine. Okay. All righty. So we are ready, Rabosai, to begin with, I think this calls really for a very special announcement from our Capitan, who is hiding. It's the Masechet. It's not just the Halakha Perek, remember. It's
the Halakha Masechet.
Excellent. Okay. This is the new sonar unit, I'm sure, that you've installed for this special cause. Hakol chayavim b'ri'iya, chutz b'cheresh, shote v'kotan, tumtum v'androgynous. So, we know that the chiyav is kol zichurcha. Now, the question is, this kol zichurcha, is that a din in the halacha of coming to the Beis HaMikdash? So the yera'eh kol zichurcha, or is the yera'eh kol zichurcha really a description of the chiev of the korban re'iya of kol zichurcha? It turns out that this is a very fundamental machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, as the Rabbeinu Tam explains here at the beginning of the Masechet, and Rashi goes out of his way to relate that the hakol chayavim b'ri'iya chutz to re'iyas ponim, not only to the korban. Masha Inken, the Yerushalmi learns the din of Re'iya on the regel out of the din of Hakel. And since over there it's Anashim, Nashim, V'taf, which the Gemara is going to very quickly get to in the coming days to understand what the implications of that are. It's a very beautiful Gemara. But that machlokas is reflected here throughout the way that our Gemara takes the Mishnah and understands it to be referring both to the Re'iyah, as we're going to see why we are convinced that that's the way our Gemara understands it. So Hakol Chayavim B'Re'iyah, that would mean both the mitzvah of Re'iyas Panim B'Hazara and the Hakrovas HaKarban, according to our Sugya in the Bavli. Chutz B'Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan. Okay, so we have different issues over here. Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan are potter because they're potter from mitzvahs. However, we are also pottering a tumtum and an androgynous, which is strange, because what we should say is that a tumtum may be a zohar, so why would we say, remember, tumtum just means that there's no visible genitalia. It doesn't mean that he isn't clearly male or female. So we're going to see where we learned this from in the Gemara. The implications are that Zachrut has something to do with the way we relate to Zachrut, and not only to issues of what the hormonal structure is in the body. So that we'll see in the Gemara. Furthermore, Nashim v'avadim she'inam meshucharim, so women would be potter. Again, according to our sugya, it means potter even from Re'iyah. Not only from Korban Re'iyah. So too, avadim. What is exactly does avadim she'inam meshucharim mean? I mean, obviously, avadim who are meshucharim are normal Jews, right? They become completely chayev in all mitzvahs. Even as avadim knaniim, they're still chayev in the same mitzvahs that an isha is chayev in. So I understand if it would say nashim v'avadim, that would make a heck of a lot of sense. What is the meaning of einam meshucharim? That we're going to have to see in the Gemara. Hachiger, v'hasuma, v'hachole, v'hazakin, umi she'eno yochol la'alot l'beraglav. So, somebody who may be lame. Now, there's two different issues here. We've got lame or sick or old or too out of shape to be able to go walking into the Azora. All of those have to do with regel, that they need to be able to get there. And the Suma has to do with Re'iyah, because he has to be able to see. And we take that seeing as literally as we take the Regel, and as literally as we take the Zechurcha. So that means we're focused strangely on actual physical body parts that are important to us in defining the Chiyuv. This is a very special kind of situation. And therefore, we need to also talk about what would be the status of ketanim, because we just said that ketanim are pturim. Now, are ketanim pturim because we're not bothering to talk about chinuch, or are ketanim pturim because they can't manage to make the trip? Because, I mean, now that we're saying that making the trip is fundamental to the chiyuv, we don't say, okay, so fine, so you can't walk, so take a taxi. What's the big deal, right? No. You will not be Yotze taking the taxi unless you can do the walk. Whoa, that's crazy. So what is the meaning, therefore, of the katan who is potter? Ezeo katan, when we see over here that the katan is potter, which implies potter across the board, and that there would be no chiyav of chinuch. This is only, according to Beit Shammai, ko sheino yochol lirkov al kitefav shel aviv v'la'alot mirushalayim l'harabayit. Only if he is incapable of riding on his father's shoulders and being carried up to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, why isn't that like a taxi cab? So we're going to have to discuss that. This is Beit Shammai. Beis Hillel says, what does it have to do with being able to go up on his dad's shoulders? He's got to be able to get there under his own foot power. Now, he may have to hold on to daddy. That's fine. So let him hold on. So therefore, it's kol she'eino yochol lechoz biyodar shalaviv. So no matter what, the element of the chinuch is certainly the interrelationship with his father. This is like an amazing thing, right? So does he go up on daddy's shoulders? And would that be enough to be mechayev and bechinuch? Or does he hold on to daddy's hands? And that's enough if he can walk with his feet. That's Beis Hillel Shita. And he needs to be able to go from Yerushalayim to the Harabayit. Why? Because it says in the Pasuk, she'ne'emar shalosh regalim. It says 3 feet. So if you can't do it by foot, so then don't tell me we're interested only in the time element if the Torah uses the strange way of referring to time. So This is our first meeting with this idea of feet being actual body part, feet. And therefore the Katan, since had he been a Godel, and he would not have been able to walk. Again, he's not able to walk because he's too weak to walk. That doesn't matter. As we saw in the Mishnah, a Godel who is too weak to walk or too out of shape to walk is not chayev in re'ia. Think about the implications of that kind of thing in terms of the connection to Klal Yisrael. I mean, just because you're out of shape, very important nekuda. Better start going to gym, everybody. So now the question is, this idea of la'alot mi'Yerushalayim la'harabayit, what does that mean? To someone who's living in Yerushalayim? The Chazon Ish understands this to be a shir, always as a shir, not like Tosfos, but we'll see later on, he holds that it really is a function of where you live. The Chazon Ish says we never have such a thing. It's not the question whether you can actually, you can take a taxi to Yerushalayim. Okay, but now you have to walk to the Beis HaMikdash. So if you have to walk to the Beis HaMikdash, where is the din of Re'ias Panim? On the Har HaBayis? No, of course not. The Har HaBayis is Kenegan Machan Alavia. That's not the Chiyav that was in the Midbar. You had to go to the Mishkan. The Mishkan was only in terms of the Hazara, correct? Doesn't mean going to Moshe Rabbeinu's tent, even though we do find that called the Olmoid, interestingly, right? So that, Rav Osai, is my take on a very brilliant Or Sameach. So the Or Sameach, everybody tries to figure out. So why does it say the Har HaBayit? Why doesn't it say to the Azara? Because that's what the Chiyav is. Fine. There's all kinds of explanations. Tosef Yontif says, well, if you can get to the Har HaBayit already, the rest of the way is just the stairs. You can certainly get up the stairs. I don't know. That's sort of a weak kind of pshat. But the Or Sameach has this brilliant pshat in which he says, he's medayik from the Rambam, that the dinim of being mosif al ha'azorais is maximally to the end of the Har HaBayit. So if you're going to have a bigger Beis HaMikdash, it can only extend the Azorah till the edge of the Har HaBayit, which means that the potential of the Har HaBayit is an Azorah. My additional take on that is, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu's tent was called the Olmoid. How can you call it the Olmoid if it's basically outside of Machane Shechina? Because it has that potential of being extended. Okay, so then that would explain why it's from Yerushalayim to Har HaBayit. Those who talk about Yerushalayim, what exactly does Yerushalayim mean? So that's the question. Does it mean the center of Yerushalayim? Does it mean the very edges of Yerushalayim from the Choma? Or does it mean, as is mashma in various places, from the Shiloach? Interesting. So, okay, so it's from the place where you would get your water and so on. And that would be the extension of Yerushalayim. Okay. Anyway, if we're talking about the carbon, and Tosfos uses this to prove that when Rashi says Re'ias Panim, he can't possibly be referring only to Re'ias Panim because the Mishnah immediately begins discussing the value of the carbon. And if you take Rashi seriously that he's only talking about Re'ias Panim, we never discuss the carbon anyway. So why are we not talking about how much the carbon has to be worth in order to be Yotze? By the way, dinim of value of the karbonas other than the karbon asham are all derabbana. So what we're talking about over here, Beit Shammai Omrim, the oilas re'ia has to be worth shtei kesef, which is not a lot of money. Two silver mos, a mos, a sixth of a dinar. So, okay, it's a minimal amount, basically. So a third of a dinar is what we would be talking about. And that's the issur would be not to come empty. So, I mean, obviously, this is only a derabbana. And the Chagiga, since it's not as big as a gift, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is only one ma'a of kesef, because that is eaten by the Bailim also. Beit Hillel says just the opposite. The Re'ia is a gift that is not shared, and therefore it's enough to have one ma'a, but the Chagiga has to be shared. And you have to have your gift, so to speak, and the Shechina gets its gift, and now you're sitting together and having a meal. Therefore, you need double the amount. So it has to be Shtema, classic Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai. Okay, now, when you say HaKol Chayavim B'Re'iyah, what is the word HaKol always comes to add something that otherwise we would not have included and that is not mentioned here in some remes. So what is that coming to add? Well, it's coming to add mishechetzio eved vechetzio ben chorin. So even though we said that an eved she'eno mishuchrar is not going to be chayev, how about if he's partially mishuchrar? How about if two brothers inherit an eved? Or, and one of them frees the eved? Or how about if you have partners in an eved and one of them frees the eved? So then that eved is in a very curious space, because the part of him that is freed should be chayev in mitzvahs, completely. And the part that isn't freed is not chayev in mitzvahs completely. So what happens with him? So it's coming to say that since there is part of him that's chayev, that part is mechayev the individual qua individual to do what he has to do. So he should be kol chayev in beriyah, and he's included. But says the Gemara that to say that that's the meaning of the Mishnah, when Ravina says that that's not even true, I mean, there's got to be a different explanation for the Mishnah. I mean, Ravina can't be chaylik on the Mishnah. So what did Ravina mean when he said, Mi shechetzio eved vechetzio ben chorin is actually potter min ha-re'iyah? So there's obviously another explanation. How does he understand the Mishnah that says, Hakol, Hakol la tu yemai? Well, according to Ravina, it would mean, somebody was lame on the first day of Yontif, and then they got fixed. Nitpashet b'yom sheni. They were able to recover their ability to walk by the time of the second day. So even though on the first day of Yontif he was potter because he was a chiger, but now that he's feeling okay, he now becomes chayev. Because you would have thought that if at the ikar time to bring the korban he is not chayev, then he doesn't become chayev at some arbitrary point. Says the Gemara, yeah, but actually that's not so simple, is it? Because that's a big machlokas as to whether we view the chiyuvim of the rest of the yontem as being a tashlumim for someone who missed the first day. But according to those who, if it's someone who only was chayev on the first day, it's all tashlumim for that. So then it's not even true. If the guy wasn't chayev on the first day, how can he bring tashlum in for something he wasn't chayev for? There are the other shitas. Yes, that would make sense. Those shitas that hold that every day basically is a fill-in for the day before. You didn't bring the day before? Bring today. You didn't bring today? You could bring tomorrow. Which is different, by the way, than simply saying every day is a chayev. Because what it means is the sooner the better. So you've got to get... Sorry. You've got to get the chiyuvim from one day to the next. You're chayev today. You missed it? Okay, so then you can make up for it tomorrow, but it's always beget a tashlumin. So that is expressed in the words, kulan tashlumin l'rishon. Everything is a payback for a missed first day, but if there was no missed first day because you weren't roy to bring on the first day, then there will not be any tashlumin. But if you're going to tell me that the Mishnah is coming to say that Hakol is to tell me somebody who was putter on the first day because he was lame and then became chayev on the second day, what are you going to do if that's not the din? I mean, that's a machlokas. So, honey, chalamandi omar kulon tashlumim zelazeh, avalamandi omar kulon tashlumim de rishon, if you're putter on rishon, then you're not going to be chayev on sheni. And therefore, we're back to the question of, okay, so what's Hakol for? If you hold like Ravina and Hakol cannot be to include the Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. And when the Torah said that, and the reason for this would be, Rabbi Osai, is because it says in the Posek, Lirot et Pnei Ha'adon Hashem. Would it be Medayik from that? Mi She'en Lo Ela Adon Echad. If you've got somebody else that is master, you don't come up to the Beis HaMikdash to see the master, because you ain't got a master. You got another master. That was the whole lineage of the Liban Yisrael Avodim and so on, why it's usher to sell yourself for an Eved, and what you were Gorem in the Ritzias Ozen, remember. So over here, this, obviously, I mean, it's no fault of his own. He's an Eved Kanani we're talking about. But we cannot call him someone who's going to come to see the Adon. And it can't mean the chiger b'yom rishon, if you are like the man d'yarmo who says if you're chiger b'yom rishon, you're never chayev. So hakol can't be the chayev you. So what the heck is it coming for? Ah, that's coming to tell me that someone who is blind in one eye is chayev. But that's not true. according to the Mishnah, basically, according to the Braisa, because there's the Braisa that says the otherwise, the Loki Aitana. The Tanya, Yochanan ben Dahavai Omer Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Suma Bachat mi Enav Patur min Hari'iya. Ri'iya is learnt as a body part, the same way that Regel is learnt as a body part. And how do we know this? Now here there's a big machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi's approach is very strange, I must tell you. Tosfos has a lot of tainas, and let me first explain it to you the way Rashi learns it, and you'll see why it's weird. What does it say in the pasuk? Yera'eh kol zechurcha. Okay, when you make a drasha, you first say the way the pasuk is pronounced, and then you say what it could be pronounced as based on how it's written, correct? That's not what Rashi does. Rashi says, shenemar yir'eh, yera'eh, which right away strikes you as, well, that's weird. It should say, shenemar yera'eh, yir'eh. And that's Tosis' first time on Rashi. It violates all of the standards of how we utilize these drushes. So therefore, Rashi understands it like that. Yir'eh, kol zechurcha. What do you mean, yir'eh? Yir'eh means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be coming to see you. And therefore, it is comparing the idea, kederach sheba lir'ot, the same way that God comes to the Beis HaMikdash to see you, which Tosfos says, what do you mean? God doesn't come to the Beis HaMikdash, gentlemen. I mean, that's, what does that mean, comes to the Beis HaMikdash? That's another question on Rashi's approach. But the same way that God comes to the Beis HaMikdash to see you, so too does he expect to be seen by you. And since he comes with a full awareness, you must come with your full physical organs that provide for that awareness. And if you don't have three-dimensional vision, then you are constrained and are not going to be able to arrive at a year. So Tosfos says this is all very weird. The simple way and more appropriate way of understanding the drasha is to do it in a standard fashion. Shenemar, yera'eh, yir'eh. Kiderech sheba lir'ot, which means that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually going to be coming, we're talking about yera'eh, so that means you are coming to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in that same fashion, that's what we're saying over here. So just like lir'ot is b'shtei enav, because the lera'ot means that you are going to be seen by him, right? So lera'ot, how is he going to see you when you are seen by him? Not when he is coming to see you, yir'eh. How is he going to see you when you are ba lera'ot b'shtei enav? So therefore, there's a remez that you have to be yir'eh also, not just yera'eh. Not just to be seen by him, but to be able to be, to see. And therefore that seeing has to be the same concept of seeing unencumbered by losses of data, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no loss of data. Amazing drasha. Very, very clear. So yera'eh, yir'eh. And because I'm very prejudiced about this girsa, I always don't say Rashi's pshat. I always say yera'eh, yir'eh. Okay. Anyway. We'll talk about other limitations of Re'iyah in the Gemara. I mean, when we learn the Gemara. You know what? Wait a minute. We don't really have to get into all of this stuff. It all started with a clear implication that a Chatzi Eved v'Chatzi Ben Chorin was included. I stick with that, okay? Chatzi Eved v'Chatzi Ben Chorin, Hakol Chayavim B'Re'iyah. Now, you had a problem with Ravina, and Ravina says that actually Chatzi Eved of Chatzi Ben Chorin is putter. Does it strike you that maybe the word Avadim She'enam Meshuchrarim means exactly that? He's not fully Meshuchrar, and therefore he's putter, and it's the same thing as Nashim. In which case, Ravina would be part of the Mishnah. Okay, but if Ravina bothers you, or if the Mishnah itself bothers you, because it seems to be contradictory, since at the end it says, Avadim she'enam meshuchrarim, there's a solution. The solution is that lo kasha. Kan kemishna rishona, and kan kemishna achrona. The Tanan, mi shechetzio eved vechetzio ben chorin. Remember that we had that beautiful sugya in Gittin. Someone who's chatzi eved, we had it a number of times, chatzi eved of chatzi ben chorin. What's the din? I mean, it's a crazy situation. Like, the Adon comes and says, okay, listen, go to the makolet and pick me up. And the Eved says, no, I'm sorry, I'm scheduled today to go to the movies with my wife. What do you mean, you're my Eved? No, I'm not, I'm only half your Eved. So this is my time to go to the movies. I mean, this is a disaster. That effectively destroys the bialis of the Adon. So therefore, we need to make some type of takona in defining the monetary issues, at least, right? So what we do is we determine the monetary issues to be settled by Ovedet Rabo Yom Echad Vetatzmo Yom Echad. We split up the week by days, and that way there are days that he's working entirely as an Eved, days that he's working entirely for himself. So says Beit Hillel. Whereas Beit Shammai says, what kind of crazy solution is that? That's a solution? Amru em Beit Shammai. It's all very nice. You've made life easy for the Odin. But you haven't made life easy for him. Et atzmo lo tikantem. Why? Because how is he supposed to get married? He can't marry a shivcha. Because a shivcha is asura to his half part, which is a regular Yisrael. Yisrael's not allowed to marry a shivcha. But he can't marry a bat chorin, because half of him is an Eved, and she's not allowed to be sleeping with an Eved. This is a disaster. So if you come up with the idea, well, let his free half sell himself as an Eved Ivri, and then he would be able to marry a Shivcha, because an Eved Ivri is Mutter Shivcha. No, an Eved Ivri is Mutter Shivcha if he already has a wife. He's not Mutter with a Shivcha if he doesn't have a wife. So no Eved Ivri would be Mutter with a Shivcha under these circumstances. Okay, that's one of the approaches that Tosef says. It's a fascinating little side point, right, to think about. So he can't marry. Li batel, so what do you want him to do? Not reproduce? That's a disaster. Halolo nivraho lam elala piria verivya. What is the world for? If you're meant to be part of a world, then you have to reproduce. Doesn't it say, forget about the mitzvah piria verivya. Fine, he can't be Mekayim the Mitzvah. He's an honest, can't be Mekayim the Mitzvah, whatever. Only half of him is Chayiv in the Mitzvah, maybe the whole, maybe a Goy is Chayiv in the Mitzvah. That's all discussion over here. That's not our problem, because it's usur to free an Evet, the Pashtus, right? Which we'll discuss in a moment. So, but the point is that being part of creation is being part of reproduction. It's a much more serious issue than having a Mitzvah to reproduce. The point of the creation of this planet is lo tohu v'ra'a, l'shevet yitzara. This is exactly what it says in Yeshayahu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not create a world to be a nice place to visit from other universes. He created the world because that's what evolution is about. It's the expression of all of those chasadim and the bursting forth of life in that continued process of ongoing greater and greater forming of the earth as a place that is meant to be lived in by intelligent life. And therefore, it's meant to be Lashevet. So what are you going to say? You're not part of the world? Is he not supposed to be a member of this planet? Therefore, there's nothing to do. Elam ipnei tikkun olam kofinat rabo vosel to ben chorin. Because of the fact that the world is meant to work, we make a general takana, an amazing takana, that Beis Din will take the responsibility of forcing people to lose their money. And therefore, even though you own this Eved, you're going to have to free him. He's worth $10,000. He'll pay you back one day when he gets a job. When he gets a job, the lazy bum has it. So, well, that's what it is. Kotev lo shtar, he writes him an IOU. Try to take that to the bank. He writes him an IOU, al-chatzi damav, for half of his value, and that way he becomes a free man, and now we can take him down to the chuppah. And Beit Hillel was impressed with this argument, v'chazur Beit Hillel lohorot kidivrei Beit Shammai. Now, so, The question is, but aren't we being over an Isser? Because it says in the Torah, La'olam b'hem ta'avaydu, and the Beis Din is forcing the guy to be Meshachar as Eved, and someone who's being Meshachar as Eved is over on an Aseh. Okay, so some learn. Okay, so he's over on an Aseh, but that's not as chomor as the Inyan of Loso Vara, which is a Meda mitzvah in a sense, because it's not just the mitzvah, it's the Etzem involvement in Maaseh Bereishis. So because of that, it's Kedai that Beis Din would force him to do that. However, there are others who explain very beautifully, La'olam b'hem ta'avodu is only if you can be ta'avodu. So let me ask you something. This Odin, this is an amazing, this is the Ktzos points out. Look, this idea of Oved es Atzma Yom Echad and es Rabo Yom Echad, that is a financial arrangement. It has nothing to do with the getter of Kedusha. It's not that he becomes Jewish one day and becomes a Goy or a semi-Goy on another day. You can't do that. It's not like on the day that he's a Jew, he would be able to have a full Kedusha, and that on the day he's a Jew, let him sleep with the regular woman on the day. That's ridiculous. His status is unaffected by the monetary decisions of the court over here. That's just a convenience, basically. What happens if the Odin wants to work him in a way that you work only an Eved Kenani? Things that are inappropriate for a Jew to be asked to do for you. Can he? There's an Isser in making a Jewish Eved do Avedas Eved. Well, then that means there's no Lolam Bem Tavodu. Because the aspect of him, which is Yisroel, cannot be worked in that way. So now you're out an Eved Kenani anyway. So there's no Lolam Bem Tavodu. Ha! Beautiful. Anyway, so therefore we don't have that problem. But note another fabulous insight, which is so contemporary and so important that I think it's necessary to point out what the Gemara is saying. In modern terms, contemporary terms, what would it mean to say, tikantem es rabo ves atzmo lo tikantem? Is this guy supposed to live without sex? Is he supposed to live without love? Didn't God create everybody to love? And if they can only love in ways that are usher, what can you do? That's how we were created. Surely the good Lord did not mean to leave me out. There ain't no such argument. The only argument we have is, what do you mean? Is he not human? Lo so vera. Why don't we say, what are we supposed to going to tell this guy he's never allowed to sleep with anyone? That's awful. That we don't consider to be a problem. So apparently the atzmo lo tikantem is not an argument, which is, again, in contemporary terms, what a discovery. Okay. Now the Mishnah says, chutz b'cheresh shoteh v'kata. Cheresh shoteh v'katan is a set, right? It's a very striking set. What is the nature of that set? Anyone who doesn't have das. So that would mean that the cheresh that we're referring to over here does not mean someone who's deaf. It's got to mean someone who is a deaf mute and therefore doesn't have das. So ma shoteh v'katan d'lav b'nei de'av, cheresh d'lav b'nei de'av. And the Mishnah is basically telling us that when we talk about a cheresh, like the Mishnah in Truma speaks about, the cheresh edibru chachomi b'chol makom, without explaining further, means he's both deaf and mute. She'eno shomea ve'eno medaber. Now, what's the implications of the Mishnah? That if he were a cheresh who could speak, it's just that he's deaf, or he can hear, but he can't speak, then he would be chayev to go to the Beis HaMikdash. If that's true, then the Mishnah is basically teaching us what it says in the following brisa. Tanina la hadatan rabbanan, hamidaber ve'eno shomea. He's called a cheresh in popular language. A shomea ve'eno medaber. He can hear, but he can't speak. He is called an elaim, okay? What's the din of these people? They're regular people that just have a handicap. Can't speak, can't hear. They're considered to be completely normal adults, fully legally competent. And by the way, how do we know that that language analysis is correct? We know it from the pasuk. Mimaydim medabravesh eno shomea zeo cheresh, and shomea ve'eno medabra zeo ilem, because it says in the pasuk in Tehillim, where David HaMelech says, the way people insult me, ani kecheresh lo eshma, I'm like a deaf person, I don't hear what they're saying. Uchi ilem lo yiftach piv, and I'm like a mute who doesn't open his mouth, so I never respond. So I don't hear them, and I don't talk to them. So then that means that the pasuk is saying, cheresh means I don't hear. Ilem means lo yiftach piv. There you go. And you know what the truth is? The word itself implies, kidi amre inche. When they talk about a person who's mute, what do they say? Ishtaka milule. Ishtaka milule means his words have been removed. So that means he's lost his speech, as we would say in England. Lost his speech. That is the word ilem. Ishtaka milule. The reason that we need to go through that is because you can't prove that the ilem can hear just because you say lo yiftach piv, right? So we want to prove that he can hear, but it's only ishtaka milule. So we're focusing in on that particular nekuda.
That means he lost speech or lost his words? So it feels a different weight.
I don't know. Milule, shomer ma milayla, shomer ma milel. Milule is speaking. Midaber ve'eno shomea. Shomea ve'eno midaber is chayev, you said, right? I mean, that's what it would appear from the mission that we just read. The problem is that the Brisa says not like that. It says if he's medaber ve'eno shomea, shomea ve'eno medaber, he's potter from Riyah. Now, you just said that the Mishnah is saying exactly the opposite, that the Mishnah Bedavka puts the Cheresh together with the Katan Veshoita in order to teach me that we're talking about someone who doesn't have any das. Omer, Havino, Vite, Merova, the Mishnah is missing a piece. And you have to understand that we're talking about two different elements. One is the Chiyav of Re'iyah, and one is the Chiyav of Simcha. Simcha, everybody's Chayav in Simcha. That's part of the V'samachta B'chagecha, and so on. But when it comes to Re'iyah, it's different, and I'll explain to you why. So Omer Avina, or some say Rava, said, the Mishnah is essentially missing something. It's saying like this, HaKol Chayovim B'Re'iyah, if we're talking about a Re'iyah plus all of the other mitzvahs, including the mitzvah of Simcha, except for a Cheresh, who is Eno Shomea, that is not a full cheresh. He's a semi-cheresh. Let's call him a semi-cheresh, right? So he can speak, can hear, or hears, but can't speak. He is not chayev in re'iyah and in simcha, because there's no chayev on re'iyah. He's potter min ha-re'iyah, but even though we're going to explain why, but even though he's potter from re'iyah, he is chayev in simcha, because the mitzvah of Simcha is a general mitzvah, as we'll see. But if he is eno shomea ve'eno medaber, and then he's like a shot of a cotton, now back to the lashon of the Mishnah, so a cheresh, who is like a shot of a katan, he is putter even from Simcha. Why? Because he's putter from mitzvahs. Ho alu paturim mikol mitzvot hamurot b'Torah. And in fact, the Braita says exactly, you think it's a little bit pushy, it's exactly the way that the Braita explains the halacha. Namely, Tanya Nami Achi, Hakol Chayovim B'Re'iyah Uv Simcha, Chutz Mecheresh HaMedaber Ve'eno Shomea, Shomea Ve'eno Medaber, except for a semi-cheresh. And he is potter from Re'iyah. But even though he's potter from Re'iyah, he is certainly chayev b'simcha v'samachta b'chagecha. The only way he would be potter from simcha is if he's a cheresh, she'eno shomea, ve'eno medaber, or we have a shaita or a cotton, in which case he's part of the ein bodat, and therefore potter from mitzvahs. That person is potter even from simcha, because he's potter mikol mitzvot amurot b'Torah. So now we don't understand, where do we get the idea from that a semi-cheresh is like it's a whole new category. Up until now, the concept of cheresh was only nogea this particular set. Cheresh yedibru chachomim b'chol makom eno shomea ve'eno medaber. Why? Because the Chachomim were Mishayer, that in the inability to have any type of interaction, there is going to be a concomitant reduction in the ability of the mind to share consciousness. And therefore, since language is what provides us for the sharing, which is the word consciousness, it means that the joint appreciation of things, because there isn't anything else we're conscious of anyway that is objective. So it's that shared consensual consciousness. Somebody who cannot have communication, mind communication, because there's no words, cannot have that level of mental development. Therefore, he may be very intelligent, obviously, and can do the most incredible things, but that doesn't mean that he has das. Remember that das is an element of connectedness that he won't have. So he's like a katan who may be brilliant and may have actually graduated Harvard at the age of 11, but he still does not have das. That's therefore the same as the cheresh eino modaber ve'eino shomea. But where would we come up with the idea that there's a limitation in re'iyah? Re'iyah? What does re'iyah have to do with his ability to talk or his ability to hear? That we're going to have to see, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow.